The many trials against Donald Trump continue, even as he shores up enough delegates for the 2024 GOP nomination. But do Republicans need to change their election strategy? I'm Bob Siegel, one of two hosts, to discuss these provocative matters on today's World News Brief. It's always good to be with you. I'm joined by Epoch Times columnist Mike Friedenberg, and he's also fellow World News Brief host. Mike, welcome to our program.
Well, Bob, thanks for having me. Once again, I don't know how this happens, but every time you bring me on the show, Bob, it's a slow news day.
Yes, imagine that.
It's always. I mean, I just can't. There's nothing to talk about. So actually, a lot of stuff in the news today, and I thought I'd just mention a few quick items. The Fannie Willis verdict by Scott McAfee. The judge.
Yeah, this is the third time we've seen this now. We saw it with Comey and Hillary Clinton. We saw it with her and Biden. And now we're seeing it where they just list this series of, I guess I would call them indictments, even though they're not officially being indicted, and make it such an airtight case that they're guilty, and then said, however, you're not going to be punished.
100%. I watched a lot of hours of the actual trial. And I watched...
This judge was going up for re-election.
Isn't that what's going on here? He's got an opponent, but he was former employee of Fannie Willis and had been endorsed by her to run for office. So when he ran for the first time. So the thing is, he clearly did everything he could in that courtroom to help Fannie Willis. Nathan Wade, Fannie Willis's lover, you know, the prosecuting attorney that she hired for $650,000, had a former partner that came up to testify. And the guy had text messages going back and forth with one of the defendant's attorneys about the relationship starting between November of 2021.
Well, and he chastised her for that, but then he says, well, he's going to be fired, but you can continue. Well, that makes zero sense.
Well, and then they actually had one of her ex-best friends testify the relationship started. So I think Jonathan Turley, you know who he is, the
he made this comment,
which I thought it was, he said, like, if you open up the safe, you find the two people and they're rifling it, and then you say, okay, my decision now is only one of you is going to go to jail, and oh, by the way, you won't get any more money, but you can keep the money you got. I mean, that's the kind of decision we got out of this.
We have such spineless people.
And the judge said this. I mean, he said that there is an odor of mendacity wafting through the courtroom. I mean, an order of untruth and lies wafting to the courtroom. That's in his decision. There's many other avenues.
Well, he has precedent now. That's what they did with Biden and Hillary. He's got precedent. He's in good company.
But she's coming out of there heavily, heavily damaged. It was amazing. Anybody else in that courtroom would have been cited on contempt five times, but she was lecturing the judge, lecturing everybody in the audience. I'm not on trial. You're on trial. Waving around, ignoring everybody.
Plus, I'm sure she would have played the race card too, and he was probably afraid of that.
Well, she did play the race card, Bob. A week before the trial started, a week or two, she went to a gigantic church and said it was all about race. And that was brought up too.
Couldn't possibly have done anything she was doing wrong.
Violation of ethics when you're sitting district attorney. So yes. So very disappointing. However, I do think that her credibility is horribly shot. And there are, like, there's the ethics commission, Georgia Ethics Commission. There's the bar. There's the legislature. There's a number of organizations that possibly do something on this. And I think, I'm not sure if it could be appealed or not, but I think it might be able to be appealed even so. But regardless, it was not the right decision, because if they had made the right decision, if Scott McAfee made the right decision, not only would she have been dismissed from the case, the entire prosecuting team would have been dismissed from the case. They would have had to start over.
So what are your updated views on the other trials Trump is going through, too?
What is the guy, Bradley, or what is that one on the bribery?
He's obviously going to get the nomination now. Are they going to put him in jail before he gets a chance to be president?
I don't think so. I think they're going to try. The New York trial on the bribing somebody to stay quiet, you know, the FEC fraud election, which basically the ridiculous one there. That's been delayed till at least April, I believe. The documents one out of Florida with Judge Cannon. She denied his motion to dismiss the charges, you know, the Trump attorney's motion. But I don't think they've set the court date for that yet. And then this one with Fannie Willis, who knows what's going to happen with that? I mean, and then we've got the other
about thing. The January 6th one.
Well, the January 6th one, that's also been delayed. I think that's, they're waiting on
We now have all this evidence that Trump was going to call out the National Guard right. and was refused. But, of course, that wasn't admitted by Liz Cheney and others.
No, that was very interesting that they had. They also had the
bipartisan.
They also had the testimony from the Secret Service man that, no, Trump. You know, remember the wild story that Trump was so eager to join the riot at the Capitol?
That he tried to grab the wheel.
We tried to grab the wheel of the beast. I guess that's what they call the Secret Service vehicle, the beast.
And how do you do that when there's a great big plastic window barrier separating the front and the back seat?
I guess they can bring it down. But regardless, that was also testimony rebutting it. So, no, the January 6th committee lied. And now we have people like Steve Bannon for refusing to go to this podunk, completely illegitimate committee. Based upon, you know, executive privilege, being threatened with 4 months of jail. The same thing with another Trump official as well. So that whole January 6th thing was just a mockery, made a mockery of the whole
It was
process.
Such a scam, especially in lieu of the things that had happened before. We had, during the Summer of Love, attacks on the White House, attacks on federal buildings in Oregon. And we didn't hear the word insurrection from any Democrats regarding that.
So, yeah, that's just a couple of things that came. There's a whole bunch more else in the news. But I thought we'd talk a little bit about a really important issue, and I want to make sure we have time to discuss it. And that's coming up with the general elections. There's been a lot of talk out there. And in fact, I think there's some good reasons for it is, hey, save your vote for election day. And if you can, get a paper ballot and submit the paper ballot. Don't vote by mail. Don't vote early. And the reason for this is the idea of ballot injection. And ballot injection, I think it's coming out of a model, an algorithm that a fellow by the name of Douglas Frank believed that he found that shows that mass election fraud has been committed throughout the country, virtually all the counties. And he has an algorithm, he has some graphs and charts that seem to show that he can predict things like that. And he also believes what's happening is that they're tracking the election results. You know, and they actually, by the way, I don't know if the people on listening know this, if you're running a campaign, you can go to the registrar of voters run while your election's going on, and you can pull files to see who has voted. You won't know who they voted for, but you can see if they voted.
But you can guess. You might know their history. You might know their political affiliation.
Right.
You know their demographics.
You know, in the past, the way you use these files is it'd be get out the vote. You'd have get out the vote. You'd be sitting there election night or the night before elections. And I've done these. You get at a phone bank and you're saying, okay, Susan Hathaway said she's going to vote for your candidate. Gosh, the latest poll from the Live Drive Star voter says she hasn't voted yet. Hey, Mike, call her. Hey, Susan, I see that you're going to support, a guy I supported, Steve Baldwin. You know, hey, did you get out of votes for Steve yet? Can we count on your vote tomorrow? And then you get the updated list. That was the idea behind these. But now the theory is that the Democrats were using these to take a look and say, oh, gosh, you know, Bob Siegel and Mike Friedenberg voted. Gosh, look at their records. Well, they probably my record.
Well, it's not just a theory. Election Integrity Project has verified that this does go on.
No, let me get to that. There's certain stuff that I agree with goes on. So you can do this, and you can certainly look and say I voted. But what I'm going to sit here and say is you don't need the algorithm to do that. You don't need that algorithm. Doesn't provide any added value as far as I'm concerned. And I've looked at the algorithm, and I've looked at the claims around it. And I personally don't buy it. To me, it's not quite as bad, but it almost falls into the unleash the Kraken category.
Wouldn't it just be better if everybody, with the exception of military and a few other exceptions, just had to vote on election day? And
Bob, I 100%
that way they
agree.
Can't say the polls are closed. We can't be dragging in extra votes for Biden after midnight.
I 100% agree. However,
that's not the world we're living in.
So the question is, we saw Carrie Lake adopted this viewpoint for Arizona election.
And then the machines broke down.
So
Somebody broke them down.
And see, they hammered it home. Don't vote early. Don't drop your vote off by mail. Wait till election day. On election day, 70-80% in Maricopa County, the biggest 70%, 60-70% of the vote for Arizona, the machines in the areas where Republicans voted were down. And they couldn't. There was huge lines. And there was some analysis done by Richard Barris, the People's Pundit pollster. Up to 20% of the people that were planning to vote may not have voted because of the ballot machines being down. That was the analysis he did. So there's some downside to this idea as well.
And it seems like the downside from every angle is that the Democrats are cheating.
Well, that's a given. They're going to cheat. So the question becomes here, let's take a look here in San Diego County. I voted recently in the primary. So I ended up going to one of the three places. I drove 5 miles to one of the three places that I can vote in La Mesa to go vote. I could vote in person. And I did. I ended up voting in person. But it used to be that I could walk a block to vote at my neighborhood voting place. So let me just ask you a question, Bob. Let's say you're planning on voting on election day and your car breaks down. What are you going to do?
No, I understand that.
What are you going to do?
I would probably call a friend for a ride and do something to get to a polling place if it was an important election to me.
Okay, so the thing is, I'll say this, is you and I and other people of our ilk are going to vote on election day. However, we need the people to vote that are people. There's a ton of people.
They're just not going to do
millions
it.
And millions of people don't vote in
right.
the midterm.
And you're saying we need to get them to.
Okay, there's tens of millions of voters that are going to vote for Trump, but nobody else. And a lot of these vote people are going to be first-time voters, or they vote irregularly. If Trump's on the ballot, they don't vote. So the question is, are we going to tell that person, are we going to count on that person who doesn't have a habit of voting? I mean, that person gets done with their lawn day and they've had a couple beers, let's say, they're sitting back there, the car has a little problem. I don't believe that waiting till election day makes up the lost votes you lose by not having people just get their votes in. That's what I say. That's my analysis. I'm just saying is the people that are high propensity voters, hey, vote on election day. If you know yourself and you're the kind of person that's going to, you're going to crawl over glass to vote on election day, vote on election day. But if you're talking to people that have never voted before and they don't have a history of voting, they say, oh, I don't think it's really worthwhile voting. And then you sit down and you say, hey, here's why it's important you vote for
Trump.
Some
people will stay home if it rains.
Right. Okay. Well, then if you're talking to somebody who doesn't really believe in voting because they just don't think it makes a difference, they think they don't count, and you finally convince them to vote, well, you may try to get them to convince them to come out election day. But I'd still say if you can get them to fill out that ballot and just vote early or by mail, I'd still say do it. Just get it done. So that's my point on it. And let's think about it. It's even if that algorithm's, now if the algorithm's going, and if this guy's claims are true, then it's very depressing. Because the guy is claiming, this guy, Frank Douglas, he's claiming that they have hacked over 3,000 voter registrars and that they can go in and change the data at will. Well, I'm sorry. I just don't believe it. I don't believe him. I think it's a claim, and he's not been able to substantiate that claim. All he can do is show us a statistical model, which I think basically shows what you would expect to see. In other words, it looks interesting, but it would show the same thing whether it was election fraud or not, basically, is what the way it's. So I'm going to say is that my view is high propensity voters, if you want to vote on election day, go ahead and do it. But low propensity or people you're not sure of, get them to vote early.
And I had heard that somewhere on the East Coast in a recent election, there was a snowstorm that prevented a lot of people from voting on election day.
Yeah, we don't have to usually worry about that here. But so that's my point is, this strategy is, and I really like this saying, too big to rig. Let's make the election results so overwhelmingly huge they can't rig it. And
let's but didn't that happen in 2020? They rigged the machines, and then because Trump was still too big for them, they had to shut everything down, and we had six states stop counting at midnight. So he really won by a landslide in that election, still found a way to cheat.
But even with all of that, they still were only able to squeak it over by 46,000 votes.
Right. In 2016, they tried to do that, and it didn't work.
In Pennsylvania, I think that really happened big time in Pennsylvania. And in 2022, the red wave did occur at state-level elections.
In Florida,
key congressional races, I believe that there was fraud there as well. And the thing is, the Democrats are ballot harvesting. Quote, unquote, it's legal. I don't really like it, but it's legal. And then part of that ballot harvesting, they're also injecting illegal ballots into the system as well. I do believe that we need to do some ballot harvesting. So they're talking about,
but we need to do it with integrity.
Yeah, with integrity. But like, for example, the Scott Pressler was just hired by the RNC. And I think we're going to do things like show up and do voter registration drives at NASCAR events. Think about the hundreds of thousands of
people. A lot of
conservative
people at NASCAR.
And
it's
conservative
events.
People. There's a lot of things you can do. Obviously, churches, but there's a lot of other things you can do creatively. And some of those people, they're solid in their types, and a lot of them are going to come out and vote for Trump, but you know, they may not have thought about it. They go, you know what? Hey, I'll vote this time. Hey, get them to vote. Let's not sit there and say, hey, wait until Tuesday on the day of the election when something weird can happen to the machines, or it can snow, or you can have, you know, somebody come up at work where you say, I wanted to vote, but man, it's too much of a hassle. I just think we've just got to get out there. And then if we do gain power in some of these areas, then let's push back and get some real election integrity laws. Let me say something here. I'm going to say a couple of positive things. Is Georgia, they passed a 98-page election integrity law. They did. And it's not perfect, but it's better than it was. It does have voter ID requirements. It does place limitations on the drop boxes. For example, the drop boxes now have to be inside the voting areas, the voting places. So there really is some improvement Not nearly as much as I'd like to have seen, but it's better than it was in, say, 2022.
It's insane that they have to come up with laws for that. You need an ID for anything else in our country.
2020. We need to really take a look at this, even if they are, and they are doing it. Why wouldn't they? I mean, if I was running the Democrats and I was running against somebody like Carrie Lake, who's saying, hey, do all your votes on Election Day, I would sit there and I'd look at a model. I put together a model and say, okay, well, I still know roughly how many votes are going to come in, roughly. And I would still be injecting the vote. If I had a stack of fraudulent ballots, I still would be sliding them in, regardless of how many people voting, on a regular basis, so they don't look like they're coming in a gigantic mass. I'd still be doing it, regardless whether you had voted or not. I'm still going to think, oh, Mike's probably still going to vote. I'm still going to slide in a vote to counter him. And I would do that all throughout the process. I wouldn't wait till the end to do it. And then at the end, I'd have some reserve ballots in place just to take a look what happened on Election Day so I could just dump them all in the mail because I know they'll accept them because they're going to accept anything and just dump them in there. So I just don't see the value to waiting till Election Day, except that I personally like to go vote. It's part of the ritual I do. So
you're making
like
some interesting points. So we all seem to agree that it would be good if the law just said everyone has to vote in an election. But since that's not the world we're living in, you're saying we need to do something about it.
Yes. I know there's a lot of people that believe in this guy. I just don't believe in this guy. I think he may be sincere. He's a very smart guy. You know, he's a PhD engineer kind of guy. I'm sure he knows statistics better than I do. But you can be blind to your own work sometimes. And I've looked at it and I just kind of go, I'm not buying it. So it reminds me a little bit of some of the claims that at least the Kraken gal, Sidney Powell.
Oh, yeah.
And some of the claims she made that turned out to be unprovable. It reminds me a little bit of that. That's all.
Except she was saying things about those voting machines, which I heard other people talking about, too. It wasn't just
her. But there's also things about overseas servers controlling things. There was a lot of stuff going on with it. And of course, the fact that she pleaded guilty to lying about the election fraud claims doesn't really mean that she lied. It just means that she didn't want her to be financially
destroyed. There was pressure put on her,
exactly. But even at the time, I thought, you don't need to make these extreme claims. You can just go point out that Zuckerberg spent $419 million to put drop boxes into exclusively Democrat areas, and that he paid off Democrat officials to favor Democrats and bringing votes in. You can, and that's just all on public record.
Well, and you could look at the states which unconstitutionally changed their election laws in 2020.
Right.
That's
and
irrefutable.
All that's available for us. That explains the election results. It does happen. And I actually found a great, interesting story, New York Post, and that they basically did an interview with an anonymous Democrat operative who says that he has fixed dozens of elections and many, many thousands of fraudulent ballots submitted for his candidates. And the way he worked it would be this, is the way these ballots work, and this is pretty standard, is you have an envelope that you have to return the ballot in. That envelope has unique markings and things that make it hard to counterfeit. The ballot itself has no unique markings because they don't want to be able to link how you actually voted back to your ballot. That would remove your anonymity. What they would do is they would go by and they had harvesting things where they'd come by and say, hey, we're your local Democrat Party representative, we're this organization, and as a favor to you to save your postage, we're collecting your ballots. So they grab the ballots, the sealed envelope ballots, they would take them back, and then they would just run that over steam, open up the envelope, remove the ballot, and stick their own ballots in and then reseal it. And they did this many thousand times. He said it was enough to decide he did enough that in some cases it could even sway a statewide election. So this is the kind of stuff that can happen. And when you have everybody being mailed a ballot, ballots are being mailed to people who are dead, ballots are being mailed to people that move out of state, you've just got thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe in California, I would argue millions of ballots floating around that are not to be tracked. So it does create a huge pool to do this kind of fraud. With that said, though, even at 5 minutes per ballot, which is what he was saying, that still takes some manpower to do that. On the other hand, if you just have direct access to the voter database and you could change the totals, obviously that's I don't believe that it's that bad in most cases. Okay, in that case, so that's enough on the voter fraud. But I do want to talk about the 2020 election versus the 2024 election and how things are looking so fabulous for 2024. Just, I'm going to look at some polls right in the same time frame, you know, the February, March time frame, you know, from 2020 versus 2024. So Economist YouGov, that's one of the big polls. In 2020, it was Biden 46 to Trump 42, Biden up plus 4. Today, you know, the most recent polling from Economist YouGov, 44 to 42, Trump plus 2. So that's a 6-point change. That's huge. We haven't seen this before. And by the way, as I'm going through these figures, remember that most polling underestimates the Trump vote. They still haven't figured out how to do it. And it's not maybe necessarily they're even trying to do it, though some of them may be trying to do it. It's just that the Trump voters are just hard to pull. They don't trust pollsters. They're very much into privacy. Or
plus they work all day. They don't have time for pollsters.
Well, then actually, that's actually true. And then there's the other fact is a lot of them are infrequent voters. They're not normally going to be called. They're voters that don't show up. They're voters that won't show up for anybody but Trump.
They don't fit into a key demographic
that you normally
profile.
Would pull. Yeah. So it makes it hard. So Rasmussen, in 2020, it had Biden up by 5 points, 49 to 44. In 2024, in March, Trump is up by 8 points over Biden, 8 points. This is a national poll. So that is a 13-point swing to Trump. Huge. Harvard-Harris, late February of 2020, 45 to 55, Biden plus 10. Today, Trump by plus 6, 53 to 47, plus 6. That is a 16-point swing. Now, the thing is, this poll showing 53%. In politics, an analysis, if you hit numbers of over 50%, those are like magical numbers. Anything under 40%, but when you start hitting over 50%, it means a whole lot. For example, 49% is a whole big difference than 51%. It's a huge sign. And having polls like this show a huge, huge advantage to Trump. It's anything over 50%, obviously. Fox News, which has historically been a negative poll for Trump, they had it in the 21st of March of 2020. It was 40 to 49, Biden plus 9. Now they have Trump plus 2. So they're reluctantly giving Trump a lead, but it's a lead. So that's an 11-point swing. And then Morning Consult, another big poll back in April, I guess that was one I could find. That was the one back in 2020. They had Biden up by 8, 42 to 34. Trump was at 34. And in March, they have Trump up by plus 1, 44 to 42. So that's a 9-point swing. So these are huge swings. And I would argue that they may not even show the true swing. So this is the kind of thing that makes numbers that potentially are too big to rig. That's what I'm kind of trying to say. They're too big to rig. And some of the polling factors, we talked about this before, social desirability bias. I think that may be part of it. That's where, you know, somebody's, because Trump's a racist, he's a bigot, you know, he's this or that, he wants to kill people. I mean, people on the phone don't want to admit they're voting supporting Trump. And there are certain types of voters that way. So that does contribute to why the polling underestimates Trump's support. And then the other factor is that Trump voters are just hard to get. So those are the two factors there. An interesting article pointed out that back in 2020, they estimated up to 160 million people might vote. 155 or so million, 156 million people to actually vote. We're going to have more this time. I think we can hit 180.
Because things are going so horribly for most people.
I think we could hit 180 million. Now, that brings us to another point that's important, is that historically, through most of my life, Republicans did better in the midterms. And the reasoning was, is Republicans were more likely to turn out and vote, just a little bit more responsible on the voting side. So low voter turnout was a plus for Republicans. It is now switched, and there's some analysis showing that the way things are right now, high voter turnout is a plus for Republicans. So if you look at the last cycles, especially with, I'll say a caveat on this, high voter turnout with Trump on the ticket is a plus for Republicans. I'm not sure if Trump's off the ticket, that would continue to hold. I hope it does. But for now, with Trump on the ticket. So you've seen when Trump was on the ticket, we didn't lose seats. We usually gained seats. But in the 2022 elections, despite him campaigning like crazy for candidates and supporting candidates, we did lose some seats in the Senate. We had lost another seat in the Senate. So I think that with this high voter turnout, we have a chance to have a true Republican wave that we did not have because of Trump not being on the ticket in 22 plus a very effective, very targeted, very smart fraud efforts by the Democrats, effectively spending money in the right places there. So its analysis shows that that is a change in things there.
Well, Mike, as always, your detailed research is impressive and you bring about some much needed optimism to the table. So on that optimistic note, we will wrap up another World News Brief. See everybody next time.